2 Corinthians 1 this morning for the reading of God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 7 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you found that, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. 2 Corinthians 1, 7 through 11. I'll read the odd verses, 7, 9, and 11, if you'll read with me on verses 8 and 10. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting verse number 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the reading of God's Word. Thank you so much for this weekend on Memorial Day. Again, thank you for those who have fought and made this country free. We thank you so much for what you've done for us as well on the cross. Lord, I pray you bless the message, be with preacher. Bless, I pray, the song, and Lord, just prepare our hearts for the message. We'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Me. He will say. Very good. I enjoyed that. Thank you. Great song and a good reminder. You shouldn't grow too old for that song right there. Jesus loves me. Tremendous. I want to draw your attention to verse number 10. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Should it surprise you that I'm speaking on the subject of deliverance this morning, all right? The word is used three times, or the derivative of it, in verse number 10. Delivered, deliver, and deliver. So let's talk about deliverance this morning as we get into the message. Heavenly Father, please bless now, I pray, your word to our hearts. Thank you for the good reminder in song about how much Jesus loves us. And Lord, thank you that it's not just a pretty song, but a great truth. And part of what we'll talk about this morning is evidence of that great love. He has delivered us. And we're thankful for his delivering power and the fact that he will yet deliver us. So, Lord, we look to you for help. Help us to learn something that will bless us and encourage us, teach us. I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt as if God himself delivered you from tragedy, from harm, and possibly even death? I'm talking about physical tragedy, physical harm, and death. I mean, it was certain. But God, in mercy and power, delivered you. I'm sure people have stories and experiences. My wife and I were traveling to Lockport, I believe it was, wasn't it, Joyce, one time, and to speak at a Valentine's banquet, I think, for Brother Fink. I may have been something for something else. But anyway, we were driving there, and I never will forget this. So we were following in the flow of traffic, and the car in front of me, we were approaching a stoplight, traffic light, and the car in front of me just all of a sudden came to an abrupt stop. I don't remember why. And I am positive that I wasn't following too closely. I'm not guilty of that. So, and I'm sure I wasn't driving over the speed limit. But he came to an abrupt stop. And so the car was there. And here was a little space, if you will, between the passenger side of his vehicle and the curb, which right there at the curb was a giant light pole. And so over here was another lane of traffic full of vehicles. And so, what do you call that? Your instinct, your initial reaction. I just aimed the truck for the little bitty hole, but there's no way that big wide truck was going in that little bitty hole. And I mean, those anti-brake locks, you know how they do. They caught in that truck. And I mean, I stood on them, and it was, you know, just like they do. And somehow, I don't know, you're going to think I'm nuts, but I got a full night's sleep last night. I had nothing to eat past 6 o'clock. I haven't been smoking any marijuana or anything like that, okay? I'm not taking any medicine. But I'm telling you that, honest truth, God shrunk the front of that vehicle. Now, I know you don't believe me, but you do love my wife, and you do trust her. And she was there, and you talked to her. I mean, it was some miraculous, I don't know what it was. It was some miraculous deliverance of God. When we came to a stop, I looked at her and she looked at me. It was immediately, you know. And I think we both had this look of awe on our face. And we just went through a miracle of God's deliverance. There was no way. I don't know what happened. But we missed the truck and the car. We missed the light pole. And you can rain on my party if you want to, but I'm here. I'm still believing with all my heart that God delivered us. Now, he's delivered you in some way or another from some certain harm or tragedy or something like that down through the years. And that's exactly what Paul was talking about in these verses. He got in one of those situations in Asia on one of his missionary journeys. And in verse number 8, he talked about the fact that certain death, I mean certain death, the Bible says we were pressed. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this trouble. We were pressed out of measure above strength in so much that we despaired even of life. Now, I don't know if it was at the hand of his enemies, at the hands of wild beasts. I don't know what it was, but Paul said basically his testimony was that we despaired of life. Give up all hope. It was certain we were going to die. Verse number 9, he says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. They had no hope of escaping death. There was no hope in themselves of deliverance. If there was any hope at all, it was going to be in God. And guess what? God delivered. Because Paul went on to testify in verse number 10, who delivered us from so great a death? And doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will deliver us. And then he thanks the people of Corinth for their prayers and encourages them to keep praying for them because, boy, we rely on your prayers and God's blessings and mercies on these missionary journeys. Now, God delivered them from certain death, and He continued to deliver them. And it was Paul's belief that God would yet deliver them all the way through. If you look at verse number 10, he talked about a past deliverance. He talked about a present deliverance. And he talked about a future deliverance. Past, present, and future delivered, doth deliver, and will yet deliver. I repeat myself. For sake of emphasis as well, God doesn't repeat himself because he ran out of something to say. He repeats himself for sake of emphasis. He's emphasizing God's great delivering power in this verse. Past, present, and future. He delivered us. He doth deliver. And I'm confident he will yet deliver. All right? Now, Paul was speaking of physical deliverance. He was in a situation where he faced a certain death, and God delivered him and his companions. But there is a picture here. There is a picture here for you and for me, not concerning physical death, but concerning spiritual deliverance. There's a picture in this verse. You see, sin has a threefold power over us, and all the consequences of sin's power have to do with death. Remember that sin and death go hand in hand. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and then what came? Death by sin. Sin entered and death followed because of the power sin has over us. Death is certain, and we have no hope within ourselves of overcoming this power. But thank God, we are not doomed. Enter the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like God was the one who delivered Paul and continued to deliver and would yet deliver Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ delivered us, doth deliver, and will yet deliver us from the power that sin has in our lives. I want to talk to you about that threefold deliverance this morning, all right? First of all, number one, we can be delivered from birth death. That's a strange term. I never heard it used. It's something that came in my mind as I was studying and preparing for this about over a couple weeks ago now, looking at this verse. Delivered from birth death. You say, what is birth death? I'm not talking about a stillborn baby here. I'm not talking about a baby being born and dying a couple, 3 days later. What I'm talking about when I say birth death is what Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, where he said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And later on in that same chapter, in verse 5, he says, when we were dead in sins. Every person in this room was born dead in spirit because of the sin nature passed down to us from our parents. Every one of us born that way. Every person in this room had that. We are three parts. We are a trichotomy. We are body, soul, and spirit. But because of sin, we are born with a dead spirit, unable to carry or enjoy a relationship with God. When we're born into this world, we're dead to God. We're, dead to the Bible. How many of you said before you got saved, the Bible makes no sense to me? But then as soon as you got saved, the Bible began to make sense to you. That's because before you got saved, you were dead to it. Dead to the Bible, dead to righteousness, dead to truth. We were dead. We were born that way. Friend, look, I don't care how many, look, and I don't want to be irreverent and inappropriate this morning, but if we had a casket in the room today, like we do some days for funerals, and there was a dead body in that casket, you could bring the fanciest meal, you could bring the most savoring steak, You could bring the most loaded baked potato. You could have the finest green beans and the nicest tossed salad topped with your favorite dressing and all the fixings and a good old glass of iced tea, sweet tea, amen. And you could bring it by that casket and it would not affect that dead person one bit. Because they're dead. And you got to understand, that's how we're born into this world when it comes to a relationship with God. We are dead. We're dead to God. Dead to God's Word. Dead to God's righteousness. Dead to God's truth. Now listen, sin had such a power over us. Nobody had to teach us how to lie. Nobody had to teach us how to disobey. Nobody had to teach us how to be selfish. When we were born, sin already had us in its grip. If you don't believe that, spend one service working in the nursery back there. Just one. And you'll see the grip of sin on those young kids' lives. This grip is certain. It is strong. It is secure. It is tight. It is sure. And there was no power. None. No power in us, in ourselves, to break sin's grip. And where sin is, there is death. Do you understand that when you birth a baby into this world, Scott and Leah and Dave and Gina, you birth a dead person in a sense into this world. Oh, alive physically, but dead in spirit to God. It's called birth death. There's life, physical life, but there's no spiritual life. Dead to God, dead to His Word, dead to righteousness, dead to truth. Ah, but praise God, friend. There's a good solution to this. Jesus Christ stepped in and He offered His deliverance from birth death. To the cross, Jesus Christ went. And along the way, when He got there, He picked up our sin burden and He put it upon Himself. And on the cross, He paid the price in full to cover and remove the penalty of sin that we were under. He shed His blood. Every drop of His blood, every bit of that precious blood, He went to the tomb and spent 3 days and 3 nights dead and lying in that tomb. And then, praise God, He arose. Arose from the dead. And now any person, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, red, brown, yellow, black, and white, who trusts in what Jesus did, His birth, His death, and His resurrection, is delivered from birth death. Delivered from the curse of sin. Delivered and made alive to God. Made alive to His Word. Made alive to church. Made alive to truth and righteousness. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you been delivered? Past tense. Have you been delivered? If you've never been delivered from the curse of sin that you received when you were born into this world, today can be the day that you are delivered from the curse of that sin, birth, death. Oh, friend, you just need to come and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you listen to preaching or you've heard something this week from somebody on the radio. And for the last day or the last 7 days or last 2 weeks, your heart's been troubled about eternity. And it's interesting sometimes when you visit with people, knock on the door and talk to them, and you get around to saying, have you ever thought about eternity? And how many times people respond immediately and say, you know, I haven't been thinking about eternity. It's been on my mind. And maybe eternity's been on your mind. And maybe death has been on your mind. And where would you spend eternity? Listen, your heart's troubled. Your heart's discomforted about this matter. I have good news for you. Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection is for you. As those ladies sang, Jesus loves you. And His death and burial and resurrection will deliver you from sin's curse, from birth death, if you'll come and trust Christ as your personal Savior. Now, you can put your name on a church roll all you want to. You can get baptized like Curtis Hudson used to say. You can get baptized so often that all the fish in the pond know your social security number. But that's not going to make you a Christian. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone has the power to deliver you from birth death. I'm saying, if you're saved, you've been delivered from birth death. If you're not saved, you can be delivered from birth death. And for those of us that are saved, hallelujah and rejoice and never lose the awe of the fact that when you got saved, you were delivered from sin, from birth death and sin's grip. But now, wait a minute, that's not all. There's a second deliverance. He goes on to say in verse number 10, and doth deliver. Now, he's talking about physical death. This is a picture of spiritual. Doth deliver. Number two, Jesus doth deliver from living death. He delivered from birth death, and now he doth deliver or does deliver from living death. You say, what in the world is living death? Well, I think living death could be summed up in what Paul expressed in Romans chapter 7. I preached from that text not too long ago. Talked about his words there in those verses, down from about verse 15 all the way down through verse 25 and so. Paul was a saved man. And as a saved man, Paul testifies about the struggle that he has to live holy and to live righteous and to live clean for God. If you were here three or four Sundays ago, you heard this. And Paul said, man, he said, the things that I don't want to do are the things that I find myself doing. And the things that I want to do, I don't do. And there's this struggle in my life. I don't have the joy, the peace, the victory that I feel like I should have. And he admits that he's having a struggle in his Christian life. And he has a hard time. And the thing he should not do is what he does. And the thing he doesn't do is what he finds himself doing. And it's on a daily basis. And it's a struggle. Listen, friend, if you're saved, you know about that struggle. Yes, you do. You know about it. And you know, I may be talking to some people this morning. You're saved. You've been delivered from birth death. But you are still living under the power of sin. And I want to say to you this morning that there is not a more miserable person on the face of the earth than a child of God who has been delivered, saved, but does not enjoy that deliverance today. And does not enjoy it tomorrow. And does not enjoy it the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And I'm talking about being delivered from the power that sin has over us on a daily basis. You will be an uncomfortable person. Your heart will be upset and troubled. You know, I remember I wasn't saved until I was 18. Maybe this isn't such a thing for the younger kids, but man, getting saved at 18, it's real to me. And I can remember the struggles of finding victory over some of the sin that was in my life when I got saved. Now, wait a minute, wait. When I got saved, bump, God did deliver. He hath delivered me. When I got saved, I was forgiven and justified and made righteous and clean in the sight of God. But I'm going to tell you something. It took a while for me to employ that. And it wasn't easy in some cases. Some of that stuff fell away. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Rock and roll music, oh my goodness. Struggle. That's why I know firsthand experience. You talk about addictions. Rock and roll music is as strong an addiction as any drug. Oh, the struggle of that thing. You talk about it. And I was saved. And like Paul, shouldn't listen to it. Then listen to it. And then for a few moments, get caught up in the beat and the rhythm and the words and all that. And then Spirit of God says, turn on it and turn it off. And then you know what you are? You're miserable. And you say, my man, it's aggravating. It's frustrating. And it's just like, oh, it's a grind. And you think, man, alive, isn't there something more to life as a saved person than this? And it doesn't matter what sin in particular you are dealing with, friend. It may be that you didn't have any problem whatsoever with music, but it's some sin that, you know, it's got you. It's got its grip on you. As a saved person, it still has power in your life. And this is what Paul was expressing. He said, it's in my members. It's in my body. It's there. And maybe you're with Paul and me this morning and countless other Christians. And you say, you know, just Man, this thing has just got me, just like a claw sunk into me. You know, and by the way, friend, look, I'm glad you're feeling bad about it, because after you get saved, after you're born to God and birthed into His family, we're supposed to get cleaned up. And God's going to try to clean us up and work on us. But you know, we're going to soul winning. Jesus said this in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers. So He equated soul winning like catching fish. Well, what does the fisherman do when he catches the fish? It throws it back. No. That's only here in this life, okay? No, God doesn't throw us back. When God catches fish, He cleans them. And God didn't save you just so you and I could continue on. Watch it now. In a life, watch me, gripped by the power of sin. That's not for the child of God. No. No, 10,000 times no. God saves us. And then He works through His Spirit and through His Word to clean us and to make us right and holy in our lives so that we can enjoy the salvation that He has given us. And sometimes we don't cooperate with God, and we run interference for our sin, and we make excuses, and we dabble because we somewhat enjoy it. And then we're miserable. We're bad and miserable. And this is what Paul was testifying about in Romans 7. He said, man, the things I want to do, I don't do the things I don't want to do. You know what he said about himself? He said, oh, wretched man that I am. If you're saved, that's how you'll feel when you continue living under the power of sin. And if you can live under the power of sin without feeling wretched, then you better go back and check that salvation experience. Absolutely. Absolutely. You explain to me, friend, how I could be so engrossed in more sin than I will even mention from this pulpit as a lost person and never feel bad about it. And then, one encounter with Jesus Christ. And I can't go back into that sin without being miserable. That's not some magic. That's not some turn over a new leaf. No. That is the Spirit of God that moved in you, the new life that God created in you, friend. And you know what? You might still be living under the power of sin in your life right now, but you're miserable, and you come to the point with Paul where you say to yourself, you might say to God, oh, wretched man that I am. Then you know what he said? He asked the question, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he answered his own question in the next verse. I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord. It is Jesus. It is His power. It is His Spirit that has the power to deliver me now. Today, I can enjoy the fruits of my salvation because of the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Son of God. Tomorrow, I can enjoy the power of salvation. And Tuesday, and Wednesday, and next week, and next month. And I can enjoy this great salvation that God has given me. Have power over it. Having victory over sin. He doth deliver today. He doth deliver today. That means tomorrow, when sin wants to dominate you, when sin wants to keep you from joy and from victory and peace and gladness, the Holy Spirit is there to deliver from sin's power and give you the joy and the victory and the peace. Let me ask you, what is it that pulls you down? What is it? Wouldn't you enjoy deliverance? Or have you been like Paul, where you just... Oh, wretched man. Who can help me? Friend, listen. There is deliverance because the Bible says that Christ doth deliver, present tense, now, today, tomorrow, when the temptation comes. You know what I think? Sometimes I think we're all goofed up in our thinking about it. Let this represent sin, okay? And this is me. And I feel like, man, I'm still involved in this thing. And I shouldn't be, and I've got to turn loose of this sin. I have got to let go of this sin. I got to work harder. I got to grit my teeth. I got to bare my knuckles, and I've just got to press, so I can let go of this sin. The approach is all wrong. It's not that you have hold of a sin. It's that sin has hold of you. Sin has hold of you. Now, if I can let Brother Caleb step up just a minute, brother, if you will. If I could let this book this morning represent me, okay? This book represents you. And let my hand represent the grip that sin may have in my life as a believer. Or in your life as a believer. And friend, if you don't believe that believers can live under the power of sin, you got your head in the sand. Oh, yes. So if this book is me and you, and this hand is what has a grip, it's the sin that has a grip on us and keeps us from enjoying God's salvation, all the great salvation that He's given us. You know, who? And by the way, when it's like this, we're miserable. Who? It shall deliver me. Oh, I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord. Brother Caleb, I want you to put your grip on my wrist, buddy. And I want to tell you something, friend. The power of God, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ has such a strength and such a power. If I'll get myself to Him and yield myself to Him and serve Him and say, Lord, help me, He can break the power of sin's grip in my life. Yes, He can. But it's Him, not me. It's Him, not you. Him, not you. Get that right. It's Him. It's not grinding your teeth and working harder and memorizing 8 points to spiritual blessing. It's simply giving. When that beer can, when that cigarette, when that show, when that internet site, when whatever it is, when it pops up, when it tempts you, whatever it is, when it's those words that want to come spilling out of your mouth that you know are going to hurt and sting. When it's that temper that's on the edge of boiling over. And you cry out to God, help! Please help me, Lord, Holy Spirit. I yield myself to you. Friend, I'll tell you something. He has the power to deliver you then, at that moment. Yes, He has. I have experienced that. I know you have experienced it too. Yes, His power is present tense. It's right now. He doth deliver. He doth deliver. Paul said, He delivered me and He doth deliver. And I know he's talking about physical death, but the picture is here of spiritual death, a spiritual life as well. He hath delivered us, saved us, broke sin's curse. Amen. But He can also break sin's clench. Amen to that. Yes, sir. So, He hath delivered us from birth death. He doth deliver us from living death. A life that we're saved, born again, child of God, but living under the grip of sin. Number three, and thank God for this, He will yet deliver from eternal death. You see, every one of us, every person who has ever known life for any span of time whatsoever, will live eternally in one of two places. I personally believe that every aborted baby goes off into eternity. Because that's a life. I believe that every miscarriage, a child goes off into eternity. Because that's life. That's a living soul. You tell me, friend, how long does life have to be there before that person becomes a soul? It's immediate. A living soul. Heaven is a place of eternal life. Hell is a place of eternal death. Dying, and yet never die. For all eternity. And friend, understand this morning that salvation is a gift of deliverance. Delivered from the curse of sin. Delivered from the clench of sin. And He will yet deliver us from the consequence of sin. Thank God. He will deliver us from that awful place of eternal torment and death. You know, the torment of hell is not only the fire, but existing in a constant state of dying in that fire, and yet never dying. It's similar to the tribulation period, when they're in such a bad state of living that men will say, cry out to the rocks, fall on us and kill us. And yet they continue to live when it would be better dying. You understand, friend, that it would be better for a person to be consumed in hell than to stay in that awful place forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and continue in a state of dying forever and yet never dying. And this we have been delivered from. Jesus Christ will deliver us from that awful, awful punishment, that place called hell. I am so thankful that my salvation includes a deliverance from that awful place called hell. I'm glad it broke sin's curse in my life. And I'm glad it can break sin's clinch. And I'm glad it's going to break sin's consequence someday. I got a letter this week, unbelievably, from a retired Baptist preacher in another state. And his grandchildren recently came to church, and I think it was a grandson was dealt with about salvation, and the man was really upset. He was really upset. And he made some claims that I knew immediately were exaggerated. Knew immediately. And but one of the things he said was, I don't understand, I can't believe that a church, this is a retired Baptist preacher, can't believe that a church would tell a child that a loving God would send somebody to hell. I sent him an email back right away. And it was not ugly. I got a copy of it. It was very kind. I expressed my disappointment that our church did not live up to his expectations. I told him I was sorry if he was offended. And then I chronicled for him the process, the series of events. I even sent him, by attachment, some letters. He said, my son came home with this letter saying he had chosen to be baptized, and the letter does not say that. Nowhere in the letter does it say that. It says the child has been saved. And with your permission, we will baptize them, but only with your permission. And we'd like for you to come and be a part of it, if you possibly would. I sent him a copy of it. Attached it. I said, you'll read the letter. You'll see that it does not say that your grandson chose to be baptized. I said, as far as your comment about a loving God sending somebody to hell, I'm not going to enter into a theological debate with you, but I can only assume that you do believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell. You see, friend, what he doesn't realize is this. We don't just tell people that a loving God sends people to hell because of the consequences of their sin. We go on to say that that same loving God sent his only Son to come to this earth and pick up our sin for us. He who knew no sin and went to the cross and died and shed his blood so that we could be forgiven from the sin that we are guilty of. That's how much our God loves us. And that's the truth. That's the whole picture. And you know what? He wrote me back an email the same day, and he said, you know what? He said, thank you for your kind reply. And by the way, I put in there, I said, I love it. I said, I appreciate your love and concern for your grandchildren. I have five, and they mean the world to me. I told Brother Gomez last Sunday night, I had four kids go to his college. They were involved in all kinds of things in that church, on the platform, everything from preaching and leading singing to programs, and I never went to any of them. I get one email about a grandson going to graduate, and I'm there. And you won't understand that until you have grandkids. Well, I'm telling you. And he said, I do love my grandchildren. He never brought up the issue about heaven and hell. Never brought it up. But I was saddened to be reprimanded by a Baptist preacher. We don't just tell folks that people have to die and go to hell. We tell them that God has provided deliverance from that awful place. Thank God for the deliverance we have enjoyed in the past. If you're saved this morning, He hath delivered you. If you're saved this morning, there is a deliverance today for you to enjoy. And tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, delivered from the power of sin. And praise God. No matter how you cut it. Well, I just don't think you ought to get saved because of hell. But no matter how you cut it, slice it or dice it, friend, because of His deliverance, we don't have to go there when we die. He will yet deliver us from so great a death. That's God's deliverance. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Listen, we'll have the invitation in just a moment. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ask a couple questions this morning about deliverance. Have you been delivered? That is, saved. Are you born again? Have you been delivered from sin's curse? You're born with it. Birth, death. Dead to God. Have you been delivered? Who would say this morning, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. I want to raise my hand as a testimony that I'm saved and on my way to heaven and thankful for it. Would you raise your hand this morning? Just be honest before God. I'm saved and I know it. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there one here this morning? You could not raise your hand and say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know if I've been delivered from that curse. I'm not certain of my salvation. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anybody sitting in the room this morning, front to back, side to side, not sure that you're saved? Anybody? I see your hand. God bless you. Appreciate your honesty. Most important thing in life is knowing that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Anybody else? Just a minute, I'm going to pray for anybody that says, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Now, my Father in heaven, the most important thing in the world is being saved and knowing it. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would draw people to salvation this morning. I pray for the soul in this room that's not sure of heaven. Please do a work in that heart today. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. One of this morning who would say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I am not enjoying my salvation as I know I should. There's a sin that has a grip on me, has a power over me. And I do feel like that. I do feel like the Apostle Paul sometimes, oh, wretched man. Pray for me that I'll yield to God and get deliverance, this present deliverance. Would you raise your hand, please, in the room this morning? Okay. Amen. Somebody else? Several hands. I appreciate it. God bless you. Yes, amen. Appreciate it. Somebody else? I should raise my hand too, Pastor. Just be honest. I should raise my hand too. Somebody else? I see your hand. God bless you. Yes. Now, if you're here this morning, you've been saved and never baptized in obedience to Christ. Maybe you're here like that. You need to come and not trust, but be baptized and follow the Lord this morning. Believers, baptism. When we give the invitation, just a moment, you come. And then if you've been visiting our church, you know this is the place where God would have you join. You've talked to one of us about becoming a member. This is a good time to do it. If you raised your hand in any time this morning that you need to be saved, that you need to be baptized, or that you need power over sin today, tomorrow, you need that deliverance that God provided. And you ought to do God the honor of coming this morning and kneeling at this altar and talking to Him about it. We have people here that can show you how to be saved. We have folks that can help you with believer's baptism. And you can kneel and pray and get help from God for deliverance today. I'm talking about today. It begins today and results in victory as a child of God. Father, bless the invitation. Bless the hearts that need it this morning. Our hearts are open to You and Your Spirit's moving in it. I pray that You'll help people in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song, an invitation. Why don't you come this morning? Step out of your seat. You raise your hand. Did you mean that? That's right. God bless you. Would you come? Would you come? Let us show you this morning how to be saved, how to know it. Would you come? Got some time for you. Yes. Would you come? Oh, I'd like to have deliverance. Deliverance from my sin. Be born into God's family. The curse of sin. Delivered from the clench of sin. And if need be, you come this morning. Don't wait it out. God bless you. That's right. Amen.